Gustav's just kick off. I don't think anyone else is going to come back from their long lunches. Thanks everyone for coming along this afternoon. I know you probably wanted to drag out your lunches yourself. My name is Dag Sonstebo, and this is going to be a fairly high-level talk on some best practices, tips and tricks to use when upgrading Apache Cloud Stack. A little bit about myself. A couple of you might have seen my talk yesterday, so you might be old news. I think I've spoken to a few of you in the pub in the restaurant over the last couple of days as well. But in short, I'm a cloud architect with ShapeBlue in the UK. I've been with ShapeBlue for a couple of years now. Background very much from as an architect in various industries, from manufacturing through financial and also in the service provider industry. I very much specialize in anything cloud infrastructure, architecture and engineering, and virtualization, pretty much across all platforms. And I do a fair bit of automation and configuration management. I've been involved in cloud stack since cloud.com days, so probably since 2011, 2012, so around something like cloud stack version 2.1. A little bit about ShapeBlue. You've all seen these by now, haven't you? Anyone want the full spiel? No. You know who we are. Some of you are already customers of ours. Some of you are a community of friends of ours. And if you need to know more about us, come and have a chat with us outside, basically. Some of our customers, again, you've seen these a few times now, so I'll quickly skip through them. So, something else said, Pierre-Luc? So first of all, show of hands, who's had the fun of upgrading their cloud stack infrastructure? Wido looks very excited about it. Anyone else? Well, that's not bad. Nakamura-san, you've been through it, haven't you? Yes, I know he has. So. Wido, you possibly ran into some issues. You've probably learned a few lessons along the way, I would think.
Yeah.
Is it always successful?
It's always successful, but sometimes painful.
Yeah. That pretty much summarizes that. That was it, guys. I've got nothing more to add. So, in short, this isn't particularly sexy topic. But it's a topic that may cause you some headaches, and I hope you to make your lives slightly easier when you come to that situation when you have to upgrade your cloud stack instances. So cloud stack upgrades thing can be tricky, but with good planning, fair bit of testing, with the right strategy and also the right communication with your end users, with your technical team and so on, is something that can be fairly stress-free and have a high chance of success and absolute minimal impact to your end users. At ShapeBlue, we do a lot of client upgrades. It's one of the things we get contacted about most often. So we've learned a few lessons along the way, which obviously I'm hoping to share with you today. So some general advice to start off with. 5 P's. 6 P's, whatever, depending on how many expletives you put in there. Proper planning is key to anything that you do with cloud stack. Just jumping into it is always going to cause you a lot of grief. Divide and conquer. Don't plan too many changes at the same time. So when we work with clients, quite often they'll come to us and say, yeah, we need to upgrade from cloud stack version 4.5 to cloud stack version 4.9. Oh, and by the way, we want to upgrade our VMware infrastructure, and we want to make our KVM host CentOS 7 instead of CentOS 6, and we want to do it all in the same weekend. It is a recipe, more or less, for trouble, unless you have a lot of resources to throw at it. So where possible, divide and conquer. Do one thing at a time, divide out your changes. It follows good old-fashioned best practices when it comes to any change management. Do as much work as possible in advance. Gone are the days when you try to cram everything into that weekend. We all like our weekends, so the less work we put in over the weekend, the better. So you prepare all the builds, you do, as I mentioned before, you upgrade your hypervisors if you require beforehand, and you do key thing to every upgrade, ensure that your system VM template is uploaded well in advance. It's again one of those things, first step you actually carry out in when you do a CloudSlick upgrade is uploading that system VM template, and guaranteed something goes wrong and it ends up taking you 2 hours instead of the 5 minutes it should take you. Read the manual. The number of people that come to us and haven't actually even bothered to look at the documentation is quite scary at times. Ensure your infrastructure is healthy. Again, another thing that we hear quite often is that, hang on, we have this issue with whatever primary storage or some hypervisor aren't working or something that isn't checking in, but we'll upgrade and that'll be better after the upgrade, which generally isn't. Unhealthy infrastructure is probably going to be unhealthier and worse off after the upgrade. So make sure you fix all those niggles and those issues before you start attempting your upgrades. And work with your end users. Keep them informed. Make sure they understand what they do and do not have access to during your upgrade. And very importantly, limit their access. The more people you have accessing your infrastructure during your upgrade window, the more trouble you're likely to get yourself into.
Can I add one thing? What we noticed recently is that to do as much work as possible is we saw that the cloud usage database might grow to significant sizes. I don't know if you're going to mention it later on.
Yeah, it's another thing we come across. I haven't mentioned in this talk, but yeah, database sizes, and we'll talk a little bit about database upgrades and testing, so I'll mention it then, but thanks. Customer impact, as you know, the CloudSlick GUI and your API, if you have slightly more advanced users or you have a portal of some description, will be offline during the upgrade, but all your VMs, your customer VMs and your virtual routers will continue to run. So it should not be in the impact to your customers, be they external customers or internal in an enterprise type environment, all those VMs should continue to run. Virtual routers, if you run a large infrastructure, obviously you sooner or later need to upgrade and restart your virtual routers, which does impact your end users. Some people choose to do that over time, over a couple of weeks, which is fully doable, but obviously be aware that during that time, before you've upgraded your virtual routers, nobody can make any changes to their firewall rules, their NATing and so on. I'm sure there's exceptions to that rule, but it's a good rule of thumb to stick to, that you can't rely on being able to do configuration changes until you've upgraded your virtual routers. System VMs, your console proxy, and your SSVM will also be offline with the GUI, and again, is one of the first things we start.
I was going to ask, do you find that it works better when you're upgrading virtual routers to do like a restart network with clean, where it basically tears everything down and rebuilds it, or do you just do simple?
Personally, I do that.
Yeah.
I blow it away. Again, by all means, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but I've never managed to get the restart or the upgrade now button to work properly.
Yeah, we always tear it down.
Yeah, tear it down and then it comes up clean. If anyone knows differently, please let me know, but that's generally the rule of thumb.
What about redundant routers? Is there still offline for the customer's network?
Again, you'll have to do the same thing. You have to make sure that both your redundant virtual routers are restarted for them to play ball with each other. I would think if you just restart one of them, they're not really going to speak to each other.
You can restart it separately, right?
Yeah, you can do that, yeah.
I think the clean network function, when you choose that option, I think it takes them down separately. I don't think it takes them down both at the same time.
Okay. Yeah, it's not something I'll play with or come across, so.
I think that's how it works.
Yeah.
Should work.
Yeah.
Well, code for that exists, I'm just not sure if it's in CloudSlick.
Yeah, I think there was a PR, if I remember correctly.
Cool. Lab upgrade testing. This is something we spend a lot of time with our clients on. First of all, try to test your upgrades in a production equivalent lab. So try to match your hardware, your OS versions, your hypervisor versions, and so on. Try to match it exactly if you can. Now, most people can't because their lab runs on that old generation hardware that you have throughout of your production environment 6 months ago. But try to match it as closely as you can. It's the only way you're going to try to catch out any issues that may hit you after the upgrade. You can prepare also VMs with production type workloads and make sure you got guest VMs with similar network topologies as you find your customers using, just so you have something, again, production equivalent to test against. And no point in just testing a empty cloud stack infrastructure, because you're going to miss half the things that might come up and kick you in the backside. Your post-upgrade tests, obviously all depends on your aversion to risk, what type of customers you have, what kind of company you run. Financial institutions will typically test more than anyone else. You might have customers who are not that risk averse, and you can get away with less. But obviously take your pick, your functional regression and your user acceptance testings. Make sure you at least test all your VM, compute, storage and networking lifecycle actions, making sure that everything works post-upgrade. For those of you portals, integrated systems, make sure you test them. That is often a pain point. People have customized various integrated systems. You may sometimes find that they don't work as well as they should post-upgrade. Rinse and repeat. Test and test and test again until you're sure that you have come across everything and you have documented everything and you have workarounds and fixes for everything. Obviously, you don't have to do all of this manually. You can, in a lot of cases, use things like Marvin or other testing frameworks, things like Chef and Puppet and Ansible and so on to do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. All depends on how much CI you want to build in. I know that you're shivering here at the moment, Don. You don't like that. So.
As long as you
production database upgrade test. This is if we do nothing else when we test an upgrade for a client, we always do this. So ultimately, a cloud stack upgrade is effectively just a database upgrade. RPMs and underlying code base, we'll discuss in a couple of slides time, but ultimately what you're actually upgrading is the contents of your database. So what we always do is we create cloud stack management servers in a network isolated location. Very important that you do that. And we import the cloud stack database from production. We then do the usual cloud stack setup databases, cloud stack setup management, and we start effectively the upgrade. And we sit and watch through the logs, make sure that we don't see any issues, and we make sure that every upgrade, because it's incremental, if you take a look behind the curtains. So we make sure that that 4.5 to 4.6 works, 4.6 to 4.7 works, and so on. Now, sometimes, depending on vendor involvement, depending on your operational teams, you may find that you have tweaked things in the database that the upgrade scripts don't like. At that point in time, troubleshoot it, fix the scripts, fix what doesn't work, and make sure you roll all the way back to the start again. You can't just continue the upgrade from where you were. You need to roll the whole thing back to start and start again. Goes without saying, if you hit a few issues, that may take you a few iterations. And again, just to reiterate my first point, make sure you do this in network isolated location. Because if this dummy management server has access to your hypervisors, then they're going to start checking in, it's going to start doing things to your other production infrastructure. As long as you do this in a network isolated location, then yes, of course, the upgrade itself is going to fail because nothing checks into it. There's no hypervisor that can access it, but at least you can just troubleshoot any SQL errors during your upgrade. Optional step that we sometimes do is preparing sacrificial infrastructure. So if a client has a really large estate, it's sometimes beneficial to put in place a small cluster, bit of storage, a few dummy users, a few dummy VRs and so on, just such that you have a starting point for your post-upgrade testing. That if you get it wrong and if something doesn't work as you expect, it doesn't really matter if you break those hosts. KVM is a typical example. KVM is the most involved hypervisor upgrade we have. The other hypervisors are relatively straightforward, but KVM is a bit more involved. So maybe a good idea to just set aside a few hosts that you test first of all, make sure that you can do the upgrades on them and they do check in afterwards. If you at that point in time have to roll back, at least you've not lost anything because you just had some leftover broken, as said, sacrificial infrastructure sitting there that you can just blow away later on. Agent upgrades. VMware, as I mentioned, fairly minor. The one thing you normally come across if you do a big upgrade from an older version is password upgrades. Just need to re-encrypt your passwords and update them in the database, which unfortunately is a manual database step. Zen Server, also fairly minor. Just watch out for updated scripts that need to get copied down to the Zen Server after the upgrade. KVM, on the other hand, is the only hypervisor that needs a full agent update. And goes without saying, if you're running a large number of KVM hosts, you need to automate this. There's no way you can, unless you have a stupendous amount of people on hand, you can't manually upgrade 1,000 KVM hosts. So make sure you automate everything, make sure you test your automation, make sure you test the full automated upgrade, but also very important, make sure you automate your backup of your existing infrastructure and test the automated rollback in case you ever have a failed upgrade. Because if you have a failed automated upgrade, you have 1,000 KVM hosts and you now have to fix them manually, you have a humongous task on your hand. So things like Ansible, Puppet, Chef is your friend here. Take your pick. You all have your configuration management platforms of choice. Strategy. This is where we're diverging in the way we do it from the normal documented way we are doing CloudStack upgrades. So obviously the standard upgrade procedure that we have documented is an in-place upgrade. And there's nothing wrong with that. It works all right, and it's in most smaller infrastructure, yeah, you may find that there's no issues with that. However, it doesn't allow for things like technology refreshes. So you want to your management servers to now be on CentOS 7 instead of CentOS 6, for example. Can't really do that, or you certainly shouldn't waste time doing that. I don't think you can upgrade CentOS anyway, so it doesn't. In short, you can't do that for a technology refresh. If you need to do a rollback, means you have to back up everything beforehand. If you run VMs, you need to snapshot absolutely everything. If you run into problems, you also need to spend time copying out all those logs from your failed upgrade before you roll back to your snapshotted instances. So from our point of view, we consider that in-place upgrade procedure to be slightly higher risk. What we do instead is we build parallel upgrade infrastructure. And we'll go through how that works on the next slide. But in short, the way this works is we build new infrastructure purely used for the upgrade. That means that the old classical management service can simply be disabled, and the upgrade done on brand new kit, brand new VMs, brand new SQL servers, and rollback is therefore much simpler. You just switch off your new servers, and you just switch back on your old servers. Cost in most cases, unless you run physical hosts there, is minimal, negligible for most of you. For you to run for three or four extra VMs in your infrastructure, it's probably not going to cost you anything. So the way we do this is we build new management servers, just do our RPM installs of the upgraded version. Keep that in mind, we're upgrading the brand new RPMs onto brand new fresh servers. We don't see it in the system VM templates at this point. We don't carry out CloudStack setup databases and so on. We don't start in the service. We just do a simple install. MySQL servers, we then just set them up. We configure them in master-slave. If we use master-slave, we even create empty databases, make sure all permissions are in place, same as on the existing legacy infrastructure. And we basically leave it in that state until the day we do the upgrade. So when we do the upgrade, the procedure is, we first of all build and prepare all of this this parallel upgrade infrastructure. Last thing we do on the pre-upgraded CloudStack instance is upload our system VM template. We, on the weekend, or on second step, or first step, in this case I've made step zero on the left here, we confirm our system VM template is in place. Without that, you're always going to run into problems. Second step, we stop and disable the existing CloudStack management servers. Step three is we back up all our databases on the old SQL servers, and we disable MySQL and shut them, well, we can shut them down if we want. We then copy and import the database to the new MySQL master server. We update the host global setting, because that's where our hypervisors will find our new management servers if we don't use a load balancer. We do our hypervisor upgrades. We configure and start the first management server. Now, we don't start one. Even if we have multiple management servers, we only start one. And let that complete the actual upgrade. It also makes sure it means you only have one set of logs in case you have to analyze them later on. Step eight, monitor startup. Make sure that everything checks back in. We then restart our console proxies and our SSVMs. Restart our virtual routers if we're doing that at the same time. And then we configure and start additional management servers. So, rollback. Situation you don't want to find yourself in, but always plan for it. Make sure you have covered your backs. In general, only roll back when you have exhausted all other options. When you've tried absolutely everything, because if you roll back at the first hurdle, you might find later on, yeah, if you'd spend 10 more minutes, you would have been fully upgraded. Now you've rolled back and you have to reschedule for another weekend sort of thing. Keep in mind that all change that you've seen since the upgrade will be lost. So if you had customers on that system, on the upgraded system, since you upgraded it, and you roll back a week later, all those VMs will effectively be lost. So steps here is very simple. We disable our new management servers and the new database servers. We go onto our hypervisors and we tidy that up. We tidy up all the VMs that have appeared since the upgrade. We just make out what our latest instance ID is in our VM instance table and tidy up anything older effectively or newer effectively. We then start and up the original MySQL servers and the original CloudStack management service, and we make sure that all system VMs come back online. And they do, because remember you deleted the original ones. So CloudStack says, well, the original ones aren't there anymore, and no one needs a CPVM and SVM, so it starts them automatically. Same thing with the virtual routers. They should start up automatically. And that is effectively how you then get yourself back out of trouble. Obviously, if you have upgraded your KVM hosts, there's additional steps there to roll them back to that previous configuration. Cool. Any questions? All happy? Yeah.
Pierre-Luc. Start working on the upgrade for them, because I was looking at the upgrade recently, and if we do, let's say you move from CentOS 6 to CentOS 7, and then you take that opportunity to upgrade for them, the database files slightly change a bit.
Okay.
So you might not be able to reuse the old one, and you kind of.
Okay. No, we've not done much work against 4.10 as per yet. We've done a fair bit of work against 4.9, 4.91, 4.92, but not 4.10 just yet. But thanks for the tip. We'll
there is some kind of...
some issues there.
Some extra manual stuff made on 4.10, so
yeah.
I don't know what was the upgrade path on 4.9. Mm. It was pretty relatively smooth.
Yeah.
Actually, I did test 4.9 with Palsam.
Okay.
There were also a few the grade issues in the database, but they got fixed
Okay. Did you do an upgrade where you just you also moved to another VM, to the management server, or you just upgrade, let's say, the package on the?
Yeah, I did a parallel.
Okay, you did a parallel upgrade and it runs smoothly.
Okay, good.
Cool. Any other questions? All good. Right, just some quick notes to finish off. For those of you downloading these slide decks, I'll just add the link there to the blog article I wrote a while back that this is based on. If you want to have a look through that, it's actually got more technical detail than what I've managed to put into this talk. So it might be worthwhile to just take a look at that. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, you'll find your upgrade notes in your release notes for each version. And that is everything from me. Thank you for coming along, and hope you found that useful.